Amen. That's great. I always enjoy hearing our kids' choir sing. They do such a great job. What a great song. Amen. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. And I hope you do. I hope you love the name of Jesus. And what a wonderful name that is. Well, while the young people are heading out, if you would take your Bibles and let's open to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me also remind you about our new members lunch. Don't forget about that as well. And in April, we have our new members lunch. If you have recently joined the church or you're interested in learning more about being a member of First Baptist Church, please sign up for that, get registered for it. Right after the morning service, we'll have a nice lunch together. Talk a little bit about our church, ask some questions, answer some questions and things like that. And so make sure you get signed up for that. I believe that is April the 12th. That is the new members lunch there. So jump online and get registered for that as well. Well, last week, the Lord really blessed, and it was a wonderful, wonderful day on Sunday. Last Sunday, we celebrated our church's 75th anniversary. And we're thankful for what God has done through the life and ministry of First Baptist Church. Just want you to know, I have not been here for 75 years. So some of you are looking at me thinking, wow, you celebrated the 75th anniversary. You don't look that old. I'm not, all right? I'm not. And I'm thank the Lord that I've been able to be the pastor here. Actually, the first Sunday of April, which will be Easter Sunday, will be my 14th year as the pastor here at First Baptist Church. And I'm so thankful that God worked through Pastor Hill and that the Lord gave him insight into some things that he didn't give me the insight into. But the Lord led him in leading us back here to First Baptist Church. And I'm so thankful that he did. So thankful that God has continued to bless through the ministries of the church. And last year, we just kind of, we were able to honor some faithful people in our church, some that have been here over 30 years, some have been here over 40 years, some have been here over 50 years, honoring them and just thanking them for their faithfulness to the Lord and their faithfulness to First Baptist Church. And what a privilege that was to still have them here. I know many have gone on to be with the Lord, even some spouses as well. But we're so thankful that they continue faithfully serving the Lord here with us. And we talked about looking back a little bit on seeing what God has done throughout these years. But this morning, last Sunday, I had two parts to the message. And just because with everything that was going on, the video and things like this, I didn't want it to be a 6-hour service. And so I didn't preach a part of the message. And throughout this week, the Lord just kept bringing me back to it. I was going to go back to 1 Peter, where we're going through on our Sunday morning series. I was going to go back to 1 Peter and continue there. But the Lord just kind of led me back to this passage. And I want to kind of, it's not really a part two, because it's not really part of that message, but we're going to be looking at the same passage in Philippians chapter 1 in verses 3 through 6. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you how it speaks to hearts. Lord, what an amazing month our church has already had through the revival meetings with Dr. Edwards, and then last week, our 75th anniversary, and then the past 2 days with Brother Mrs. Young with our marriage conference. And Lord, we are looking in just a couple weeks to celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in you. And Lord, I know this is kind of a little bit busy time for our church, but I hope that we'll not get sidetracked by the busyness of it to look to you. And Lord, I pray that the message this morning would be exactly what our church needs. Lord, we thank you for the good singing this morning. Lord, both with the congregation, the choir, the kids choir, Lord, just singing out, singing from a heart of love for Jesus Christ and what you have done for us. So I pray that you would just bless now as we open your word, use it to speak to hearts. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to draw closer to you, help us to desire to live more for the cause of Jesus Christ while we still have the opportunity. And so work in hearts as you can this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So last week, we kind of used this passage and we were talking about how Paul was talking about how he remembered the church of Philippi. And he's talking about how he remembers, no doubt, how it was started. We talked a little bit about that, how he went to Philippi. God led him through that vision that God gave to him, that what we call the Macedonian call in Acts chapter 16, and how he went into what we would refer to now as Greece, modern-day Greece, and the Lord began to work and led him to Philippi, and on the banks of the river of Philippi, there was a lady named Lydia who accepted the Lord as her Savior, and then she opened up her house to Paul and to for a church to be started there. And as they continued preaching the gospel, we know that there was the young lady who was demon possessed, who men were using her for soothsaying and fortune telling and things like this. And Paul cast those demons out of her, and those men were not happy about that. They were making a profit off of what she was able to do. And so they were very upset with Paul, and they stirred up the people of Philippi, and they beat Paul simply for preaching the gospel, and they put him in jail. They put him in stocks in the jail. And then, of course, Paul and Silas that night were singing and praising God. I don't know if I would have been doing that. I probably would have been complaining, right? I probably would have been grumbling, like, Lord, here, you led me to Philippi, and you know, we were preaching, and somebody got saved, and now they're upset with us, and now we're in prison. But Paul and Silas were rejoicing. They were praising the Lord. They were testifying of the goodness of God. And an earthquake happened that night, and the jail doors were open, and the Philippian jailer comes running in, thinking that all of the prisoners had escaped and had gone, and is about to take his own life. And Paul says, "Hey, no, we're all still here." And Paul has the opportunity to lead the Philippian jailer to the Lord, and goes to his house, and many in his own house get saved. And so Paul is remembering, man, it was an amazing way that God used the beginning of this church. And he remembers this, and he's saying, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." And he talks about how that he's praying for them, and how there was no church that communicated with him in the ministry, that partnership with him in the ministry as the church of Philippi. And we talked about how the things that have been done over the past 75 years here at First Baptist Church could not be done without members partnering together for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it's exciting to look back and see what God has done. But I want you to notice what he says in verse number 6. He says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Sometimes what we do in ministry, and we look at churches that have been maybe in existence for a while, we look back and we think, man, look at how amazing God has been, and look at the souls that were saved, and look at the buildings that were built and things like that. And we look in the past and we think, well, that was then, and you know, God just doesn't do anything now. You know, that was in the past. God just, you know, in our present day, God just doesn't work. And really we kind of get this mentality that we're just gonna kind of hold on until Jesus comes, right? We know Jesus is coming, and so we're just gonna kind of, ride it out. Ride it out and hope he comes soon. But I don't think that's what the Lord desires for us. I don't think the Lord just wants us to ride it out. I don't think the Lord just wants us to hold on till we come. He says, being confident, notice Paul is confident of this. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, notice, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is not only remembering the past, but he's also looking in the future, and he's saying, man, I can't wait to see what God is gonna do in the future in the life of that church there in Philippi. I can't wait to see how God is, as he began this good work, he is going to continue that good work. He will perform it. He's going to continue it on. And so this morning, I want to just, this is kind of a little bit of a continuation from last week, but I want to just give a challenge this morning. Last week, we talked kind of in the past, but this morning, I want to look to the future. And this morning, I want to challenge the next generation. The next generation. Now, you could be saying, well, you know, that's the young people sitting on the front row here, right? The next generation, those were the young people that were standing up there singing, you know, and they did such a beautiful job. That's the next generation. And so some of you are already starting to tune me out because you're like, that's them. No, don't tune me out. The next generation needs every one of us. Now, the challenge I'm going to give this morning is to the next generation, but please understand, the next generation is not the young people, it's not the teenagers. The next generation is still those in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. Maybe those of you that are saying, hey, well, I'm in my 60s and 70s and 80s, so I'm not the next generation. You may not be the next generation, but you're a generation that we still need to be faithful today. We need you. So don't just tune me out thinking I'm speaking to the next generation, because we need you. 75 years ago, someone believed that this community needed a gospel preaching church. And God laid it upon the heart of a man named J.G. Whitley to start First Baptist Church. And as that church began to meet and start, and they began to pray and they began to sacrifice, they gave. They worked so that the work of God could begin through this church. Many of those who prayed and sacrificed and gave, many of those are now with the Lord. They ran the race that God had them run. But now the baton has been passed to our hands. It's been placed in our hands, and it is now our race that we are to run. And please understand, how many of you are breathing this morning? How many of you are breathing this morning? Some of you are not breathing? I believe that should be everybody in here, right? If you're breathing this morning, your race is not over. It's not over. Sometimes we have this idea, well, when I reach a certain age, you know, that's when we stop serving the Lord. I don't know if you can find that necessarily in Scripture. I think we're supposed to be serving the Lord faithfully until the Lord calls us home. Now, that might be a little bit different as we get older. There are some different things maybe we are not able to physically do and things like that. I understand. But don't ever think, well, you know, my time is done. I'm going to turn it over to the young people and I'm just going to sit and relax and enjoy and just kind of, no, we need you. We need you. We need you to be faithful. We need you to keep serving the Lord until the Lord calls us home. When we look back, we can see what God did through those that came before us. But the question is, not what did God do in the past. The question is, what will God do in the future? That's what the question we need to be asking ourselves is what is God going to do in the future of First Baptist Church? You say, I don't know what the future is. Well, I don't either. But I know, he says, that he which hath began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said he was confident that God would continue his work until the day of Jesus Christ. That means every generation has a responsibility to carry the mission forward. Every generation has a responsibility to look in the past and be thankful for what God has done, but be excited and anticipate what God is going to do. I know the Bible speaks of contentment, and the Bible says that we should be content. But I believe when we're talking about the things of God, we should never be content. We should never be content. Well, last year we saw, 40 people saved, so we should be content with that. No, we want to see more people saved this year. Last year we gave $140,000 or $150,000 to missions, so we can be content with that. No, we need to do more for the cause of Jesus Christ this year. We should never be content when it comes to the things of God. Yes, we can be content with what God has blessed us with. And we say, Lord, thank you for my car and thank you for my home. And we should be content with physical things. But I believe there should always be a desire for more for Jesus Christ. If the Lord didn't want us to do more, I don't think he would have left us here to carry on. And so to the younger families that are here, to the teenagers, to the children, to the middle-aged, I want to give you a challenge this morning. I want to give you three things challenging you as we look forward to what God is going to do. Here's number one. Number one, guard the gospel. Guard the gospel. Guard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice, if you hold your place here in Philippians in chapter 1 and look over to 2 Timothy, as Paul is writing his last letter that we believe to Timothy. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 13, notice what he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He says, hold fast. We've got to hold fast to sound words. We've got to hold fast to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We've got to guard the gospel. May I say, truth does not automatically continue. It doesn't just automatically continue. Truth must be protected and it must be preserved. Can I challenge the next generation? Never lose the message that this church was built upon. Never lose the message that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the message of the gospel. Yes, we can be thankful for programs and things like this, but the message of the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to guard it, can I say, because there's a lot of people trying to change the gospel message. They're trying to twist it. They're trying to change what God has said. The church of Philippi was founded on the simple truth that sinners were saved by grace. The grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I think Paul is remembering that when he says that. I remember preaching there on that riverbank and Lydia listening and Lydia hearing and Lydia understanding that she needed to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm sure he's thinking of that as he's thinking of the Philippian jailer and his family as he gave them the gospel. And he says, hey, look, I know there's a lot of gods in this world that people are serving. There's a lot of gods in Philippi that people are serving, but there's only one true God. And there's only one way to have a relationship with him, and that's through Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say do good works. He didn't say get baptized. He didn't say go to church. He said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, can I tell you, we have to guard the gospel. Churches do not drift into revival, they drift into compromise. Starting, well, we don't really, you know, God doesn't really mean what he says. You know, we don't have to really take God's word literally. You know, I there's a lot of good people out there, and I'm sure that their way is just as good as our way. Look, friend, it's not our way, it's God's way. And there is no other way, period. That's it. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are not many ways. There's not even two ways. There's one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. And we have to guard that. Every generation faces pressure to soften on doctrine. I was preaching Wednesday night. We're preaching through the book of Matthew on the king and his kingdom. And Wednesday night was, I think it was just kind of preparation for the marriage conference because I was preaching on adultery and what the Bible says about adultery. And it's pretty heavy stuff there. And I made the comment, I was talking about something, I was preaching something, and I said, look, you might call me old-fashioned, but it's just Bible. And one of the young men, He said, after the service was over, he said, I remember that quote, and he sent me this picture, and he's got my face on the middle of a picture, and it says, it's not old-fashioned, it's Bible. Can I tell you, that's where we need to stand. We need to stand on the Bible. You say, well, people might make fun of you. People might think that you're old-fashioned. People might, no, it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. That's where we stand. Can I tell you, when this church was started, it was started and founded upon the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the pastors previous to me that were without reservation in preaching, thus saith the Lord, and this is the Word of God. I'm thankful for Pastor Hill for 42 years. Man, I did not hear every message that he preached, but I was there for many of them. And I can tell he preached the Word of God. He was unashamed of it. He preached the Word of God. Like it or not, here's what the Word of God says. Can I tell you, next generation, we need young men, we need young ladies that are willing to say, we're gonna stand faithful to the Word of God. We're gonna guard the Word of God. We're not gonna let compromise. We're not gonna get away from God's Word. We're gonna hold fast to God's Word. Guard it. Look at what he says a little bit later in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice what he says here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse number 2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why does he say this? Why does he say be faithful to preach the Word of God? Notice the Word, not opinions. Amen. There's a lot of opinions being preached in pulpits today, and it's not the Word of God. He says, preach the Word. You all know, if it's my opinion, I'll tell you, this is my opinion. I'm not gonna make it the Word of God. It's not men's doctrine. Preach the Word. What does God say? Why? Notice verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Look what he says. It's so important that we hold fast to the truth of the Word of God, because every generation is going to face that opportunity to soften on doctrine, to adjust truth based on culture. Look, we're seeing that in such a great way in our society today. Now, it's even hard to even, in culture, it's even hard to know what truth is, because truth changes on a daily basis. You know, the truth used to be there was male and there was female. And then the truth, and I say that in quotes, the truth changed that there was, well, there's not just male and female, but now there's other genders as well. And then the truth, I gotta keep putting air quotes because it's not the truth, but the truth changed again, and now there's over 70 different genders. Well, what does God say? God said he made male and female, he created them. There's the truth right there, male and female. You say, well, you know, culture doesn't go along with that. Sorry. Culture's always changing. Culture changes all the time. But I can tell you something that doesn't, the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. And so even in a culture where the truth is always changing and trying to adjust things and compromise on conviction, he says, look, the time will come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They want to have teachers who just tell them what they want to hear. Man, just make me feel good when I come to church. Just make me up, you know, let's sing some songs that really get me excited. Tell me something really good about myself, and I'll go out thinking I'm a great person. We don't want to hear conviction anymore. We don't want preaching about sin. And yet, we've got to guard the gospel. We've got to guard the Word of God. In every generation, look, friend, I don't know how long I'm going to be the pastor of this church. I have no idea. I don't know when the Lord's going to call me home. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. But if in the years to come, I'm not pastoring this church and there's another man pastoring, you better make sure that he is guarding the gospel. You better make sure he's preaching the Word of God. You know how you do that? You've got to know it. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to make sure you are familiar with God's Word to know whether he is bringing a false doctrine in or he is truly preaching God's Word. How well do you know it? You say, well, that's your job, Pastor. No, it's not my job, it's yours. It's your job. I'm just one member of this church. Just one. We all have to know the Word of God. We all have to know what the Bible says so that we can be the right people guarding God's Word. The next generation must say, we will hold firmly to the truth of God's Word. Do not change what God has already established. Jude speaks of this. Look over in the book of Jude very quickly. In the book of Jude, just a little book right before the book of the Revelation, the back of the Bible there. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude doesn't even have a chapter. It's just a book. There's only 25 verses there. Jude, little book, right before the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Notice what he says in Jude, verse number 3 and 4. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He said, man, he said, I'm writing, I'm exhorting, I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you. Be willing to contend for the faith. Be willing to fight for the faith. Be willing to hold fast to the faith of the Word of God. Why? For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Notice, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, he's saying, look, there's gonna come people in that are gonna try to say, well, you know, Jesus isn't the only way. You know, there's other ways. Jesus isn't the only way. You know, you could get baptized or you could keep the Ten Commandments or you could go to church or you could be a good person. You know, religions teach so many different ways. But friend, let me tell you something. It's not what about a religion says, it's about what God says. God says there is only one way to the Father and that is through Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other way. You could get baptized 1,000 times and still die and go to hell. You can be a part of First Baptist Church, still die and go to hell. It's not about a church. It's not about a religious ritual. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if not, you have no relationship with Him. If not, you cannot say, I am confident in knowing that I'm gonna be in heaven. All it is just kind of a, I hope I will. Friend, can I tell you, that's not what God wants. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your home is in heaven with Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that. You can know that. Why? Because God's word says you can. But he says, look, there's gonna come in those that are gonna turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness means looseness. It means lustfulness. It's just whatever anybody wants. Whatever you want, we'll do it. Whatever you wanna preach, you can do. It amazes me how a church that's gonna start maybe in a community will send out mailers or something like that and say, what do you want in a church? What? What do you want in a church? I think the Bible is pretty clear what should be in a church. Why are we asking the community? Well, because we want to get everybody's opinion, right? We want to just kind of appease and please everybody. Wait, that's not what the church is for. The church isn't to appease everyone. It's not to please everybody. That's not, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. They ought to know, hey, I may not agree with everything First Baptist says, but they preach the Word of God. What they show, it's right there. I may not agree with them, but they got Scripture to back up what they believe. There's truth that is there. We've got to guard the gospel. May I say, secondly, not only do we need to guard the gospel, we must continue the mission. Again, the founding members of this church did not start a church so it could become a museum. It's unfortunate. There's a lot of churches today becoming museums. Just, there's no life there. There's nothing there. They started this church so that the gospel could reach people, so that lives could be changed through the saving power of Jesus Christ. You think of the thousands who have been reached because of the mission of the church. So many of you who are here this morning have been reached because of the mission of the church. Many of you reached because someone shared the gospel with you. I know we have some people that come maybe from other churches and things like that, but I can look out over the crowd and I can see this person was saved through somebody in this church, and this person was saved through somebody in this church, and this person got saved here, and that person got saved here. Why? Because the mission of the church has never changed. It has stayed faithful. It has stayed true. They started a church so that people could hear about Jesus Christ. Lives could be changed. Aren't you glad that there were those who were willing to guard the gospel and to continue the mission so that you could be saved, so that you could put your faith in Jesus Christ? But guess what? There are still those that need to hear. You see, we can look back and be like, oh, we're so thankful for that, but you know, we're just gonna kind of ride it out now. No. We don't get to ride it out. We don't get just get to hold on. No, we've got to continue the mission. We've got to continue reaching people. There are neighbors who need Jesus Christ. There are children who need to hear the gospel. There are families who need hope, that they need to see that Jesus Christ can change that broken marriage. Jesus Christ can touch the heart of that wayward teenager. Jesus Christ can mend our family, and he can put things right. It's only through Jesus Christ that these things can be done. You see, the mission is not finished. The command is still the same today as it was 75 years ago when this church was started. The command will be the same 50 years from now as it was 2,000 years ago, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is why Paul says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Friend, you have to understand something. It's not our work. It's his. He started the work. And he will continue the work. He's just looking for those who are willing to be obedient to him, to use, to keep it moving forward. Man, I'm so thankful when I think about First Baptist Church, and I remember how God led us here. You know, I'll be honest, I was scared to death. I was scared. Living in America was scary. Pastoring in America, scary. Why? I have to look at you every time I preach. I have to look at you. Every time I preach, I'm like, man, are they mad? I mean, they're not looking at me. They're like, I got this grimace. Like, I'm gonna tear you up afterwards, Pastor. You get up here and do this every Sunday. I'm so thankful to see how God has worked. God's been faithful. But you know what? Every time I look at it, I'm like, Lord, it's not me. It's not me. It's you. It's your work. I have nothing to do with it. God, it's all because of you. I'm just one of those people that simply said, Lord, if you want to use me, I'm here. However you can use me, do whatever you want. And God said, hey, you know what? I think I can use you at First Baptist. Okay, Lord, I'll go to First Baptist. If that's where you want me to be used, I'll go there. You see, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for people just willing to be used of God in his work. It's his work. That's what's so amazing about it. We think it's about us. It's not about us. It's not about First Baptist Church. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And that's why Paul says, being confident. He says, I can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started it. He's going to continue it. I just get to get on board with it. That's all I get to do. He started it. He's going to continue it. He's going to finish it. I just have the joy of getting on board and seeing what God's doing. If you're not on board, get on board. It's amazing. It's amazing to see what God is doing. It's amazing to see how God is changing lives and families and teenagers. I mean, think about all the young people. Look at all those young people up here singing about our Savior's name. These teenagers, many of these teenagers having a heart to serve the Lord and wanting to be obedient to God. And yeah, they still need work. But by the way, so do you and I. We still need work too. See, it's his work. It's his work. And it's a work that must continue on. The church exists not to exist. It exists for the purpose of reaching people for Jesus Christ so that he can change their lives. Don't let the mission of the church stop with your generation. Whatever the generation is, maybe it is 50 years from now, and maybe half of the people that are here, maybe they've already met the Lord and they're already with the Lord. Hey, 50 years from now, there ought to be people saying, hey, I remember 50 years ago when Pastor Andrew got up and he said, hey, we've got to guard the gospel. We got to continue the mission. And for 50 years from that point, at 125 years, we are still faithfully preaching the word of God, faithfully seeing people get saved and lives being changed. That's the continuing work of the mission that God has for us. It's not about who stands behind the pulpit. No, it's not it. It's about Jesus Christ and his work in reaching people with the gospel. Pass it on. That's what Timothy says in 2 Timothy, or Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That idea of passing it on to the next generation, passing it on to those that are coming behind us. Look, again, those of you that say, well, hey, you're talking to the next generation. My generation may almost be up. Then you have something to pass on to them. You have something to pass on to them. Your faithfulness. Your joy in the Lord. That you got to pass that on and let the young people that are the next generation see what God can do in your life so that they can say, hey, even when I get to be that age, I can still be faithful and I can still have the joy of the Lord. I can still be used by God in the same way that they're being used today. We need you. The next generation needs you. The generation after that needs you. Just as you've received sound doctrine, we need to pass it on to the generation after us. You know what our prayer ought to be? As these young people grow up, these young families here, the nursery, man, I'm telling you, praise God for the nursery workers. They're back there holding all those babies and taking care of all those babies. You know what? That's another generation. You know what we ought to be praying? That these coming generations, these young families, these teenagers, these young people coming up, Lord, we want them to continue the mission. Lord, we want them to guard the gospel. Lord, we want them to keep going and seeing people saved and lives being changed. We ought to be praying for them to continue on, even when we may not even be here. Just as there have been those who have invested in you, invest in those coming behind you. Continue the mission. Guard the gospel. And let me give you the last thing here. Build for the future. Build for the future. Again, think about what he says. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. There's the continuing work, but until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, how many of you know when Jesus Christ is going to return? Yeah, nobody does. You know what that tells me? It ain't time to ride it out. It's not time to just hold on. It's not time to just sit back and say, well, Lord, I hope you come tomorrow. Look, I'll be very happy if the Lord came back tomorrow. No doubt about it. But it's not time to just sit back and ride it out. You all know one of the songs that we don't sing at First Baptist Church. Again, and I'm not against churches that do it. Don't misunderstand me. One of the songs that we don't sing here is Hold the Fort. We don't sing that. I don't like it. I know, that's why we don't sing it. I don't like it. I'm just gonna be honest with you. You know why? To me, it's defeatist. Just hold on. I'm coming. Just hold on a little bit longer. Hold on. Get out and do something. Do something for the Lord. Get out there. Tell somebody about Jesus. Don't just hold on. Don't just sit back and do nothing. Do something. Has he come back? No. So we've got a great opportunity to continue to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just sit back and hold on. Don't just do nothing. Find something to do for God because there is plenty out there to do. There's plenty to do. Build for the future. Every generation must build something that the next generation can stand on. The people who started this church built a foundation. And over 75 years, that foundation has been built upon. But you know what? The next generation needs to build upon it as well. The next generation must ask, what kind of church will we leave behind? What kind of church are we going to leave behind? Is it going to be a church that faithfully preaches and teaches the word of God? Or are we going to just compromise? Are we going to, the word of God isn't important. Salvation by grace through faith isn't important. Will we leave a stronger church? Will we leave a more faithful church? Will we leave a more gospel-centered church? We have to build for the future. I'm thankful for what God has done, but look, can I tell you something? I want to see God do more. I want to see God do greater things through the life and ministry of First Baptist Church, not for me and not for you, but for Him. And I know He can. 3 years ago, when God gave us this building, you've heard me say it, I never would have thought in 3 years we'd be as full as we are today. I thought 10 years, we'll be good. And God, I'm glad God's bigger and greater than anything I can think of. You know what? There may come a point in the future here where we're gonna have to build something else. We may have to build another auditorium. We may have to go to double services. We might have to do this. And you know what the thing is? Well, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we building this? Why are we going to double service? Because we're building for the future. Because Jesus Christ hasn't returned, and until He returns, we have a work to do. And we have to do more for the cause of Jesus Christ. What are we gonna leave for the next generation? It's interesting. In a relay race, the most important moment is the passing of the baton. If the baton is dropped or mishandled, it's usually at that point where the race is lost. You know what's so interesting? Regardless of the runners that the U.S. team has had, many of them being medalists in their own single division or single categories, the U.S. men's team has notoriously struggled with one area, the exchanging of the baton. That's where they've always struggled. In fact, the U.S. in the Olympics and in world championships have now had 11 dropped batons or disqualifications or bans since 1995 because they could not hand off the baton correctly. Man, they ran around that race super fast. I mean, many of them gold medalists in their own categories, silver medalists, bronze medalists. Man, they were fast. They ran around that track really good, but they couldn't hand off the stinking baton. They couldn't get, and you've only got a certain amount of, room to do it in. If you don't do it in that area, you can't keep going. One person's not supposed to run all four times. You got to hand it off to the next person. Then they got to run. And they got to hand it off to the next person. Then they got to run. They got to hand it off to the next person. And here's the thing. The reason why the U.S. team has failed, lost, and been disqualified is not because they couldn't run. Oh, they ran well. They just couldn't pass that little stick to the next guy. Couldn't make the exchange proper. You know, I'm thankful for those that have run so well, First Baptist. We've got to hand off the baton. We've got to say, hey, there's another generation coming up that we've got to train, that we've got to influence, that we've got to help, so that when it comes time for them to hand off the baton, they're ready as well. So that they have run well, so that they can hand off the baton, so they're not disqualified or have to be in last place or whatever because they did not pass the baton properly. For 75 years, the baton of faith has been carried well. We've got to think of the next generations to come. We can look in the past and say, man, it's been great. Praise God for what He has done. But what about the future? What about the next generation? What about the generation after that? And the prayer of this church should be, Lord, help the next generation run even farther than we did. Help them to do more. My prayer for these young men and these young ladies in this church, my prayer is that God, You raise them up, let them do more than what I ever could. I want them to do greater things than what even I've been able to do. Lord, would you help them to do that? Lord, there's young families here and they've got a great start in their marriage. Lord, help them to do greater things for you. We gotta be praying for those things. Why? Because we need the next generation to run and keep going and keep going and keep going. Paul says in verse number 6, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We can thank God for the past. Let's serve him faithfully in the present. But let's trust him and work to see him do even greater things in the future. I truly believe the best chapters of this church's story are still ahead. They're still ahead. But we have to be faithful. Father, I pray you would work in our hearts this morning. Lord, thank you for an amazing church that has faithfully preached your word. Lord, they've been faithful in guarding the gospel. Lord, they've continued the mission as many people here know Jesus Christ because of it. Lord, we believe the future is ahead. We don't know when you're coming, Lord, but we want to keep working until you do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking about this morning, I would like to ask just a very simple question this morning. Friend, maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, maybe you know of Jesus. Maybe you've been to church, you've heard of him. Maybe you've been baptized or you've done some other religious ritual. You've tried to be a good person, you've tried to keep the Ten Commandments, but there's never been a time in your life when you have personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, can I tell you something? Jesus Christ came and he died on a rugged cross to save you and me from our sins. And every one of us are sinners. And even though we might try different ways to get to heaven, the Bible is very clear that there's only one, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I do not know for sure that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm just not sure about that. Friend, would you just willingly slip up your hand and put it right back down? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's gonna come to you. I'm not gonna call you out. I just wanna pray for you. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Someone else, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm uncertain. I don't know if I've ever truly been saved. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Someone else, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I hope I'd go to heaven, but I'm just not sure. Friend, I'm gonna pray for you in just a moment, but my prayer cannot save you. I can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can. In just a moment, we're gonna have what is called an invitation and the piano will play in just a moment. And I'm gonna invite you to come. And if you would let us, we will have someone take the Bible, God's word, not our opinion, but God's word, and show you how you can know for sure that Jesus is your Savior. Christian, maybe you're here today, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Let me ask you, are you just kind of holding on? Have we just kind of gotten a rut? We're just like, I'm just going to hold on till Jesus comes. No, friend, don't do that. There's another generation coming up after us that needs us to be faithful and continue working. There are still people that need to be saved. There are still lives and families that need to be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only way they will know is if we will share that with them. Will we be faithful and continue the mission and build for the next generation, for the future? Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, even though you've done great things in the past, you're the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. And Lord, we know you can do greater things. And Lord, we ask that you would do greater things in the generations to come, greater than what previous generations have seen. Lord, not for the glory of First Baptist, not for our glory, but for yours, that you would be honored and glorified through it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.